And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about this show goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, so listen, a couple of things here. The text line is open, and the text line is going boom right now. I'm trying to find a way to work my way through the thread. Multiple responses on the issue of both spending and on the question of supporting Ukraine. And John from Pike Road just asked something, and there's a Twitter a tweet that I got tagged into. On my Twitter feed. You can follow me on Twitter, by the way, if you're on Twitter at Sen Phil Williams. That's S-E-N Phil Williams, at Sen Phil Williams. Anyway, and it's got like 86 people that all are talking about how Tommy Tuberville has betrayed the people by voting for the spending bill. Well, the list I just saw says he is not one of the ones who voted for the spending bill. He was not listed among the Republicans, unless I missed it. I am looking right now for independent confirmation. Paul from Athens sent me the list. So, Paul, if you've got an article or where you got the sourcing for that, if you could send it to me, that'd be huge. But, of course, the Alabama senator who did vote for it, Richard Shelby, we all knew that was going to happen. I mean, that's how he's going to get another building with his name on it somewhere, because he's made sure that he got all these support projects built in. Frank from Madison texted in and talks about he's got I guess, from what I understand, he said here he's got a Russia, a Patriot background. He's also talking about the fact that he thinks that the Patriot missile, which we're talking about sending over there, would require U.S. troops to operate. Maybe. I don't know that for a fact. I do know that it would require U.S. troops to train Ukrainians to operate it. So I don't know how that's going to work. But we're apparently sending over Patriot missiles, and we're also being told U.S. troops will not be in harm's way, so we'll see. Paul from Athens just sent me the article. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you. Yeah, 18 Senate Republicans who voted to pass the $1.8 trillion McConnell-Schumer omnibus bill storyline off of Daily Signal. That's a good source. Just came out. And, yep, there it is. Okay. All right, so, folks, those of y'all that are blaming Tommy Tuberville, now I will say this. I saw unofficial, I haven't seen the official listing, but I don't doubt it per se, that Tuberville may have voted to allow it procedurally. And a procedural vote is not a vote for the bill, it's a vote to allow the bill to advance. But I don't believe doing that is wise either, because you're allowing the bill to advance. Nonetheless, his vote was not the deciding vote, but what we're looking at right now is 18 Senate Republicans did join in with the Democrats. We'll break all that down in number two of the Triple Dipper here in a little bit, Spend-O-Rama. Paul from Athens, thank you again for your sourcing. Appreciate it. John from Huntsville says, Zelensky's not even a Republican. He's a socialist. That's how he won so many votes, because Ukraine is mostly a socialist country. I get it, John. I do. I get that. Ukraine is not an innocent bystander in terms of everything in the world. They're not a perfect country. But do you like them better than you like Russia, or vice versa? Because if you think for a second that Russia is the good guy in this fight, you're just wrong. Daniel from Tullahoma wants me to believe there's a conspiracy theory out there that what's really happened is Russia's gone in and seized all the bio labs and the other intel, and they're helping us. No, they're not. Daniel, I don't believe that for a second, man. I appreciate you've got a position on that, but I don't agree with it. Where else we got? Rita from Scottsboro says, I don't want Russia to win, but I don't want to be bankrupt either. I can't afford a slice of bread. I totally agree with that. That's why I'm a firm believer that we have to see some serious accountability. I don't mean telling us there's accountability. Show us the accountability. Show us what you're going to do. So there's that. We got somebody getting off topic on me, bud. I can go ahead and do it. Why not? I've been talking about it too. So let's just go ahead and do it. Line one, Alan from Hartsel. Hey, Alan, how you doing? Is he there? Alan, you there?
Oh yeah. How about me? Can you hear it now?
I got you now. Yes, sir. What you got?
Okay. Now this Tuesday afternoon, this omnibus bill is put out to the senators and congressmen. 2 days later, you're expected to vote on it.
Right.
Now, who in their right mind can honestly believe that they can read 4,000 pages and understand it in 2 days?
Yeah, to be honest, it was 4,155, and they got it at 1:30 in the morning. How about that?
That's what I'm saying. There's no way that you can do that.
No.
And the Democrats are just like the Obamacare. We're going to pass it, and then we're going to read it.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Crazy.
It is crazy. And it's absolutely the wrong way to run a country. And we didn't used to do this until about 20, 25 years ago when they figured out that the best way to get all the pork they wanted was to hold the bill to the very end when everybody wanted to go home for Christmas. And now we got a snowstorm scaring everybody. And so they literally held it to the last second so they would feel rushed to have to do it. There's no way anybody could read it. And now I'll tell you what else too, Alan. They passed the Senate today. Nancy Pelosi says she's going to try and bring it up for a vote tonight in the House. How about that? Same day.
I mean, that's crazy. I mean, there's no way that they can do that. I mean, they should be able to do that, but that's what they do.
No, it's irresponsible.
And the general public, well, I guess they know what's right. They know what's best for us.
No.
Well, no, don't work that way. They don't to me anyway. But I guess I read too much and try to figure out what's going on. But have a great day and great Christmas.
All right, you too, Alan. Merry Christmas to you, man. What else we got there? Missy from Falkville. She says, doesn't the troops have to go with the Patriot missiles? Yeah, I mentioned that a minute ago, Missy, and so I don't know the answer to that. Do I believe we're going to have to send trainers over with Patriots? Yeah, absolutely. I believe they're going to have to train them, though, in the probably in Poland or Germany, and then let them go forward. So I assume that we're giving them the systems, providing training off-site, and then sending them forward. I am told that we're not going to wind up having U.S. troops in harm's way. Grain of salt. We'll see where it goes. Jay from Harvest says Eastern Ukraine will be a settlement. 100,000 Ukrainian soldiers, 40,000 civilians are dead already. Well, we'll see. They may sure enough settle. They may come to a point where they say, you know what, the Donbass region and the land bridge over to the Crimean Peninsula, that Russia may settle for it. I don't know. But I don't think so. Right now, Zelensky is saying that Ukraine will settle for nothing except having them leave. More to come on that one. All right, and we got some new texters coming in. I see at least two right now that have jumped in there. Give us your name and where you're from. By the way, if you're texting for the very first time, that's a point. 833-687-4448. I'm told that I read that too fast sometimes. It's 833-687-4448. But
why do you have to have the accent every time you go slower?
I don't know.
I just thought that was funny. Every time.
It makes me talk different when I go.
It's like I have some molasses in your mouth.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, the number is 833-687-4448. Text it on in. If you text for the very first time when you text in, tell us your name and where you're from. And start off by just texting the word right side. You'll get an automatic message back that says, hey, welcome to the system, you right side ruffian, or something like that, and tell us where you're from. A first name and location. All right, listen, lots of stuff on the tap here. So let me just jump on to the fact that Volodymyr Zelensky, President Zelensky, left the war front for the first time that we know of and came to the United States yesterday. Showed up wearing fatigue pants and a sweatshirt. Went to the White House, met with the president wearing a fatigue pant and a sweatshirt. And spoke to Congress wearing fatigue pants and a sweatshirt. What kills me is the dude's over here in a time of war asking for assistance and, by the way, saying lots of thank yous. Don't think for a second he was up there telling us what to do. I'm even disagreeing with Tucker Carlson on this. He did not get up there and tell us what you must do. You will do what I say. No, he wouldn't. He brought over, you know, honorary gifts and tons of thank yous. All right, so are we sending him a lot of money? Yeah, we are, and it concerns me. But stop misrepresenting the guy who showed up to give a speech and say lots of thank yous and give us an update face-to-face on what's been going on. And he even made the point, this is not charity. It's an investment in security. All right, so that being said, let me go back to the sweatshirt thing. Get over it. If you were offended by the fact that he wore a sweatshirt, I recognize that decorum in the Senate would not normally allow for anyone, no member of the body could wear a sweatshirt. But if that's your biggest concern, then you're just looking for something right now. So shake it off. By the way, it was a good-looking sweatshirt. Just saying. Story on Fox News. Ukrainian president, this is dated yesterday, last night. Zelensky makes a direct appeal to his GOP critics, arguing that no country is safe if Ukraine falters. My point, too, is that Zelensky said when he spoke to Congress last night, "The struggle will define in what world our children and grandchildren live. This battle cannot be frozen or postponed. It cannot be ignored, hoping that an ocean or something else will provide protection." And what he's saying by that is, don't think for a second, don't think for a second that this is just going to go away. It's happening. It's not like we're saying, well, you know, they might not invade. They've invaded. We're close to a year in right now. And you know, scores, thousands, hundreds of thousands perhaps have died. You know, much of Ukraine is on again, off again power. They're in the middle of a Ukrainian winter, friggin' cold. People are, you know, dying, and some of them are dying just from exposure, malnutrition, and just from being in the wrong place at the wrong time. This is an indiscriminate war, too, in many ways, because Putin is not content to just attack force on force. It's not just tank on tank. It's not just troop on troop. He's intent upon demoralizing and dehumanizing the entire population of Ukraine. That's why he's bombing infrastructure. That's why he's sending missiles indiscriminately into schools and other buildings. That's why they're bombing theaters, because he wants the people to be demoralized. Well, so far it hadn't worked. All he's done is tick them off. But that being said, Zelensky did the right thing by coming to speak yesterday. By the way, don't mistake my support for Ukraine as some means of just like, I'm not fawning. I'm not, by the way, one of the things that irritated me last night was Nancy Pelosi blowing kisses to President Zelensky. It was embarrassing. Like, lady, stop that. What are you doing? Show some, it's like, he's too young for you, by the way. You can't date the man. But she even at one point leaned down and pulled him in to kiss him on the cheek. It was ridiculous. All that to say, I'm not fawning over Zelensky. I don't know if he's a perfect person or not. I know he's not, because the Bible tells us none of us are perfect. But I do know this. Between the two nations, he's the one leading the country that I'm more in favor of. He went on to say in his speech, "Your money is not charity. It's an investment in the global security and democracy that we handle in the most responsible way." All right, his words. I want to know what that means. Zelensky said that U.S. support is crucial not only for Ukraine's victory, but also to show Russia and China that no one can succeed in breaking national borders or committing atrocities. And he did go ahead and make a direct appeal for more U.S. military aid. He made the point, he said, "Ukraine has never asked that American soldiers fight on our land instead of us. I assure you that Ukrainian soldiers can perfectly operate American tanks and planes themselves." By saying it that way, what he was saying was, we'd like some of your tanks and planes. Okay, that's coming. I don't know what we're going to send them. I do know we're sending Patriot missiles. And we'll talk about that more in a minute when we get back. Boomer, let's go ahead and take a break, man. We'll take the break right now. We'll come right back. I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper, and I do want your opinions. 833-687-4448. And Dustin from Hazel Green says Pelosi is a cougar. Okay. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. All right, we got some lively textures going on. So, number one, don't forget, if you send in for the first time and we don't have you in the system, you got to tell us where you're from and what your first name is, and we can get you in there. So Jacob from Chattanooga has got an issue with supporting Ukraine, vociferously an issue. His first text says, Ukraine, I'm sorry, it just jumped around. Ukraine is one of the most corrupt countries in the world. It's completely aggravating to me that America is sending so much money and weapons. It's ridiculous. We need to stay out of it, period. Okay, obviously you and I differ, Jacob. What's your plan? So when they come into Ukraine and they take over Ukraine, which, by the way, happens to be the breadbasket of Europe, it's one of the largest agricultural countries feeding most of Europe. It's also one of the largest energy producers with the largest nuclear reactors. So when Russia takes that and they also block that all off from the Black Sea. And then they decide to step over into one of the NATO countries next door because we didn't say boo about it. What's your plan, Jacob? I mean, do you sit there and just watch it? So you can have your opinion, but recognize that your opinion has ramifications. And just being a complete isolationist is not always going to wind up working out. You can go ahead and look at Neville Chamberlain in World War II, who said that he decided to go ahead and stay away from confronting Nazi Germany. I'm not trying to say this is exactly that, but what I am saying is a mere isolationist. And by the way, Jacob goes on to say, also choosing Ukraine and supporting America, sending them everything because you just like them more if you had to choose is just ignorant. Be honest with yourself. And then he says, but I'm not saying that in an argumentative voice. I don't know what that. Anyway, Jacob, you're welcome to your opinion, man. But yeah, it does come down to a choice. You do something, you don't do something. And if you do something, which side do you support? That's where it is. And if you want it to just go ahead and, you know, and just pretend that if we did nothing at all, that Putin would say, all I really want is a little bit of land and I'll stop right there. We're talking about the guy who used to be a Soviet spy. All right. He was in the GRU, the KGB's follow-up, and then he was also in the KGB before that. So I really don't believe, Jacob, that we could just sit still. Now, where I am concerned is the amount of money. And I'm also concerned, by the way, with the fact that we have nobody showing us the means by which we are holding them accountable. Tommy Tuberville, 1819 News. Story came out yesterday. He says that he wanted his constituents to know that he is of the belief that we are indeed holding them accountable. And taxpayers, in his words, says taxpayers need to know Ukraine funding is being accounted for. That's the story that came out yesterday from 1819 with Tuberville during an interview he did. I got a caller on the line. Before I run out of time, I better grab it. Is that Sparky? Sparky from Harvest. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good. Phil and Boomer, Merry Christmas. I'm actually pretty angry and disgusted. The accountability up to this point with billions or millions going to Ukraine has been non-existent. I think it's been demonstrated clearly that a whole lot of money that was quote-unquote sent to Ukraine went through these Bitcoin crooks and right back into Democrat campaigns. I think that's firmly established. This omnibus spending bill, it's got me so angry I can hardly see straight.
Yeah.
Any of the Republicans who voted for border security in several Middle Eastern countries and zero for our country, but money to fund streamlining processing of future permanent Democrat voters at the southern border. I'm ill. I'm absolutely ill, Phil. And if the Republicans in the House don't vote unanimously to oppose this thing, I don't even know what I'm going to do. I can't write enough angry letters to these criminals in Washington to make any difference. But you know, you feel like you got to do something. They're not listening to us. Taxation without representation. Remember, that was what started a revolution quite a few years ago as well.
I totally agree with that. And so the Bitcoin argument you just made a moment ago, I am not tracking that as well. If you got an article on that, Sparky, I'd love for you to send it to me. But the reality is,
I will.
Yeah, thanks. Because I mean, you have never come at me half cocked with anything, so I definitely want to see it. But the other side of what you just said, though, the true accountability. You're right. That's the part I think that has me the most concerned. Is we're looking at upwards of $100 billion, billion with a B, over time. And I have not had anybody clearly illustrate what their level or style of accountability is. But then I go back to the question of what do we do in the face of a tyrannical former Soviet leader who is trying to just gain ground next door to NATO? And are we up against the time already? All right. Hey, Sparky, man, appreciate the call. Music's playing. That means
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Dang, I want to keep that conversation going. All right, listen. We got more of this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, live in the Right Side studios, the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. We cover down on all the issues, man. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. So text lines are still blowing up. I'll go back to, we'll wrap this section up here in just a few minutes. Move on to the next part of the triple dipper, the other thing that's going to make everybody mad. It's like, and by the way, do I support Ukraine? Yeah, I do. Don't think that it's an infallible support. I mean, there's concerns. I share the same concerns y'all do. I just see right now that while I'd like to be doing things different, I would like to see some different level of accountability on the spend, that at the same time, I am not an isolationist. I am not going to say we shouldn't be involved at all. I mean, I think we have to say Putin stops here, because otherwise Putin's in the Baltics, you know. Putin's going to be stepping across into Poland. What does he want next? Moldova. I mean, there's already concerns about Moldova, Georgia. I mean, you're looking at countries that are trying to join NATO right now, Finland and Sweden, because they're concerned about the state of European affairs. We got a bunch of new textures today too, man. We should have kept a list of them so I could just call out the names and thank
we
them.
We should have. I mean, at least 20 just in this past hour.
Good Lord. John from Lexington, South Carolina says, Finn, when does Europe step up? Well, Europe is definitely in. NATO and the European Union have both been supplying arms and funding. I don't know that I could say it's going to be on par with the United States, certainly not, but then we have a greater source of revenue than they do combined. But nonetheless, Europe is definitely engaged. The thing to watch right now, too, is Europe's going to have to stay the course, because this is on their front, and I agree with that. Europe cannot just say, hey, United States on the far side of the Atlantic, would you take care of this? You remember Trump used to press NATO to keep its own commitments and to make sure that it was fully funding its own defense. And so I do believe that Europe probably needs to get more engaged, but they are engaged. General Jack Keane was on earlier. Charlene texted me. By the way, my wife is more astute than me on most stuff when it comes to politics and international relations, with her degree in poli-sci and communications. But she texted me just a little while ago and said that General Jack Keane was on, and that he said that there are 7 or 8 countries that are actually supporting at a higher level than we are, which I need to find that list, because I have not heard that before. Others I got on here, Jerry from Decatur says, when communism raises its ugly head, the U.S. must maintain that we will fight back. If we don't, we might as well give up freedom and roll out the red carpet to them and shake their hand and thank them for coming. I realize that socialism is a sister of communism all the way, sir. Jerry in Decatur. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate you. We got a new texter who calls himself Wiley Coyote in New Hope. All right. So, Wiley, appreciate you being on the show. Thanks for texting in. Who else we got here? Jacob from Chattanooga. We already got him. He was new on the line today. Tyler from Athens has been checking in. Where are we? I lost my new. Okay. Paul from Athens says he believes there's more corruption. He agrees with Sparky. He says, I'm ill because McConnell said Ukraine's the number one priority. Well, McConnell, that was a knucklehead comment. By the way, nobody believes that Republicans across the nation believe that Ukraine is our number one priority. It's possible to have more than one priority, but to say they're our number one priority? No, our number one priority are things like our own economy, our own energy independence, our own ability to control our southern border, the fentanyl crisis. Those are higher priorities than the war in Ukraine, but the war in Ukraine is important. Let's put it that way. Bad choice of words, sir. He goes on to say, Paul from Athens, I believe there's more corruption involved than we know of. Paul Pelosi Jr., Hunter Biden, John Kerry's stepson, Mitt Romney's son have all worked with Ukrainian energy companies prior to this war. I agree. But I don't think that the Russian invasion should be ignored because we've had some corrupt politicians with their hands. In fact, I would hope that somewhere along the line, we're going to be able to get in there because we've been helping Ukraine and get some records that will help us figure some of that out. Bryant from Huntsville. Brian from Huntsville says, we have given more aid to Ukraine than all other NATO countries combined. I think it's time to let the other countries contribute. They are contributing, sir. I don't know that we'll ever see them contribute to our level, no matter where they are in the world. But I don't dispute the fact that NATO's got to make sure they are front and center on this thing. John from Huntsville. Phil, have you ever looked up the Ukrainian mafia on the internet? They do a lot of horrible things, and their best buds are the Russians and the U.S. mafias. The U.S. mafia is pretty bad, too. And I'll go ahead and say the drug cartels in South America are horrible. It does not mean that we wouldn't help if, you know, Colombia was invaded. I'm just saying, I get it. I get there's corruption there. Y'all don't think that I don't. I get there's corruption there. But the reality is Russia has invaded. So do we sit idly by because there's a problem with crime in Ukraine? Or do we gain an ally for life that we can say we stopped Russia cold in its tracks and we have the ability to help Ukraine reform some of its processes? I mean, that's where we are. Fox News reports December 21st, that would be yesterday, that President Biden's administration will send Patriot missiles to Ukraine for the first time on Wednesday. I think what he's saying, he announced it on Wednesday, as Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky visits Washington. The Patriot missiles are the country's most advanced air defense system. Yeah, that's a significant piece. That's a technological advance on anything we've sent over there so far. Now, granted, our Javelin missiles and our SAMs, our surface-to-air missiles, those are the Stingers, those have been turning the tide. But this is what we did, too, by the way, when the Russians and Soviets then invaded Afghanistan. We supplied Stinger missiles and other arms to the Northern Alliance, what became the Northern Alliance, to fight back. And that pretty much stymied the war, and the Soviet Union eventually pulled out in disgrace. I kind of feel like we're there again. All right, here's a more comprehensive update to wrap this up. From the Institute of War, General Jack Keane's think tank, they do the most in-depth deep dive. If you want to see deep dive, if you're a military analyst or you want to at least very, very, you know, sort of see in depth what's being said, how they analyze it, where it's coming from. All right, so here, by the way, they do this every single day. So the update winds up being 3 and 4 pages long per day. So just be aware, this is a deep dive. I'm not going into everything. Their most recent report, as of yesterday, Russian President Vladimir Putin and Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu presided over a Russian Ministry of Defense collegium in Moscow on December 21st, that's yesterday, and made significant statements pertaining to Russia's ongoing invasion of Ukraine and the strategic direction of the Russian military. All right, so what are we going here? Now, first of all, Russia's not going to get up there and call defeat. They're not going to get up there and talk about their losses. But they were actually very candid, to some degree, about the difficulties they've had in prosecuting the war. Shoigu, the defense minister, he publicly presented a series of proposed Russian defense to significantly increase the size of the Russian military. He's calling for the establishment of an entire new army corps and 17 new maneuver divisions. All right. First of all, that's probably not going to happen because, you know, it goes on to say further in this report, Russia's economy is in recession. Its resources to generate divisions have significantly decreased since the full-scale invasion of Ukraine. Russia is also reportedly leveraging Belarusian trainers to train mobilized forces and possibly contract soldiers and conscripts. So their bandwidth is getting tight. And what they're doing now is they're having to basically bring in mercenaries, the Wagner Group. They're having to bring in Belarusians because they can't sustain on. They're having to use Iranian-made drones. And that's a clear indication that Russia's having trouble, like I said, prosecuting the war. Well, the Kremlin is not going to wind up expanding to that capacity. But the question is, what do those comments indicate? Well, what they indicate is that, in the words of the Institute for the Study of War, is that Putin and Shoigu have demonstrated that Russia is not interested in reducing its war efforts or its war aims, despite the growing toll on Russian society. They go on to say their comments further illustrate the Kremlin retains maximalist goals for the war in Ukraine that include the recognition of illegally annexed territories, regime change of the Ukrainian government, and the control of Ukraine's political and social character. In other words, Putin is not saying anything conciliatory. He's not talking at all openly about the idea of reconciliation or of finding some means of achieving peace through negotiation. What he's saying is he plans to take it all the way to the end. I don't know what that means in the long run. All I know is we are not seeing them back down. Institute for Study of War, great in-depth analysis, y'all. Good stuff, worth looking at. All right, wrapping it up, the text lines, James from Harvest. What's your opinion of all this mess with Russia getting us roped into another world war? I think I've been doing that for the last hour. Yeah, I don't think we're getting into another world war at this point. I think right now we're trying to stop another world war. And then John from Brownsboro, I want Ukraine to win, but what linchpin needs to be pulled to make Putin back off or sever his ties to his military aid country enough to end it? Putin's ego won't let him relent of his own volition. I agree with you, John, and I don't know the answer to that question at this point. But I do know this. What he wants is capitulation. What he wants is for us to back off. What I want is accountability, and I want Russia to lose. All right, folks, that's plenty on that. We're going to go to Spendorama next, number two in the Triple Dipper. We're going to go ahead and take a break right now. We'll come right back and move it forward with something that's got me just bent. Bent, man. And that's the fact that we got 18 Republicans that decided it was a great idea to join the Democrats and pass the biggest pork spending bill that we've seen in years. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.